ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1 as we continue our study through this book. And this book really deals with victorious Christian living. It shows us how we're to live out our faith. And again, think about the days we're living in. I mean, the pressures we face. We need to know how to live victorious Christian lives. And think about it. That land of Canaan, the promised land, is a picture of the spirit-filled life, as we talked about. But tragically, what happens is many Christians don't enter that spirit-filled life. They kind of like to remain in the wilderness, which is not a good thing. And as we saw last time, the amazing thing is God promised them the victory. All they had to do was enter the land of Canaan. God gave them the land even before they entered it. But again, they had to walk. Well, you think, what was the problem then? If God said, this is your land, what was the problem? Well, the problem was that this promise was based on the fact that they had to go in and take possession of it. It wasn't an automatic deal. They needed to take those steps of faith. And isn't that the hard part? I think it is. God says, go for it. You're like, really? Are you sure? We get nervous. God has given us so many exceedingly great and precious promises in His Word, but we have to walk by faith to obtain them. It's not that we walk to earn them. We don't. But God has given us these promises, and like with Joshua and the children of Israel, we must arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. You see, I've given them to you. I've given you this land. It's in the past tense. It was theirs. But they needed to walk by faith and enter the land and obey the words of the Lord. I think that God has done the same for us. And we need to walk accordingly. You think, what stops us? Do you ever think about that? What stops us from going forward? From walking by faith? Fear. It's always fear. Fear of the unknown. My oldest grandson, Liam, just ran his first cross-country race. You're running the first time. You don't know what to expect, right? It's a race. You don't know what. And the coach afterwards said, okay, boys, now you know what it's like. Now you know what to expect. And you can run. Now the next time you run, you'll have that experience. When God calls us to take steps of faith, we don't know what's going to happen. But do you think God is going to say, Joe, I want you to go over here? And then as we go, he goes, is that our God? No. Does it mean that everything's going to be perfect when we take those steps of faith, that it's going to be easy? No. Think about it. The children of Israel, when they went into the land of Canaan, they had to do battle, right? There were wars. And I think for us as Christians, we let fear stop us from doing the things that God wants us to do. I'll share this article with you. I thought it was kind of interesting. We're told, make no mistake, fear is a dangerous and powerful enemy. It's cunning and deceptive and can masquerade as a litany of emotions. Anger, jealousy, unforgiveness, anxiousness, intolerance, shame, bigotry, hatred, rebelliousness, and selfishness share a single core, fear. Whispers of doubt and worry that attempt to assail our thoughts are intentional attacks on our faith. And failure to resist these taunts will most definitely result in an entanglement of fear. There's a popular adage, fear, false evidence appearing real. I have loved this acronym from the moment I was introduced to it. It reminds us that we serve a God who is bigger than our circumstances. But the truth is, fear is real. Many of us struggle with it on a daily or even moment-by-moment basis. Often we are not even aware of that struggle. So though in our mind we know that God is bigger than our circumstances, our heart trembles at the details of what we face. A very real question for many of us is this: how do we overcome the false evidence appearing real? Fear will cause us to run from our difficulties. instead of trusting God to carry us through them. Fear and the desire to escape it can lead to anxiety, depression, and a host of destructive coping habits. Not one is fully immune from fear, or no one is fully immune from fear. Even those who have experienced great moves of God can be susceptible if they are not careful. But God, in his abundant mercy, has provided a way of escape from fear that is certain and true. Faith is the natural and far superior opponent of fear. Fear is a tool of our ancient enemy, but faith is a gift of God. It is graciously bestowed to his beloved children through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural fuel of our prayer life and worshipful demonstration of our love. The decision to walk in faith must be taken up again and again. Every day can bring new concerns that attempt to lure us away from trusting in the Lord. But God in his great love has not left us powerless. Strength is found in seeking the presence of Christ through prayer, meditation, and his word. As we begin to understand his will and purpose, his word becomes manifest through and in our lives, and our faith increases. As we grow in Christ and mature in spirit, we become more able to more easily discern his truth. Faith acknowledges that our wisdom is as foolishness compared to the wisdom of God and defers to his plan for every area of our life. Faith also insults us against the ravaging effects of fear, or insulates us. Wow. Faith also insulates us against the ravaging effects of fear, because faith exposes our situations, whether glorious, mundane, or challenging, as opportunities for our Savior to be glorified. One of the reasons that fear is so effective is that it relies on us to do our very favorite thing, focus on ourselves. The more we focus on our hurts, disappointments, goals, interests, and understanding, the more vulnerable we become. When we forget that our wisdom, protection, and provision must come through Christ, we are primed for an attack of fear. God's purpose for fear is that we acknowledge truth. We are not God. But if we are not undergirded by faith, fear can drive us to find ways to cope with that truth. Choices that separate us from God, habits that seek to replace God. Many of us have abused ourselves or others in our attempt to replace God with people, things, or habits. The enemy's purpose for fear is not simply to make us afraid. It is to make us vulnerable to the suggestion towards sinful conduct. Man, fear is an amazing thing, man. It could incapacitate us, paralyze us, cause us to do things that move us away from God and not towards God because we're not obeying him. The wonderful thing is that God's given us the victory. We have to walk accordingly. You know, God told Joshua that he has given them, the children of Israel, the land. But they needed to walk into the land to take possession of it, to gain that victory over the enemy. And yet, even with those precious promises of God, Joshua was fearful. I realize some go, oh, no, not Joshua, man, look at the guy. No, Joshua was fearful. In fact, here in Joshua chapter 1, four times, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And in Joshua 1:9, the Lord even tells Joshua the following, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. You think he was afraid? Of course. Why would God tell him don't be afraid if he wasn't afraid? Why shouldn't Joshua then be afraid? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Even though Joshua knew that, he was fearful. It was tough. He was stepping into the shoes of Moses, you might say. And he was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And those were pretty big shoes to fill. The children of Israel, under the leadership of Moses, wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief. You think that was in the mind of Joshua? Man, I hope this works this time. I hope we're not going to wander another 40 years. I don't think I could do it. There were big enemies in the land. There were giants in the land. They had fortified cities. I mean, they had every reason. This fear was not, you know, just imagined in their minds. It was very real. So from a human perspective, as you look at all this stuff, Joshua had every right to be fearful. But the difference for Joshua, the children of Israel, and for us is that the Lord is saying, be strong and be courageous, for I am with you. Our fear needs to be removed by the power of God's Spirit, and the only way that will happen is as we surrender to him. We trust in him as we believe in the promises that God has given to us. Remember here in the first five chapters of Joshua, Joshua chapters 1 through 5, we're looking at how to enter the land or how to enter that life of spiritual victory. So it's important for us to learn these lessons, just as it was important for Joshua and the children of Israel. This was not just for them. This is for us as well. I titled this message, and you know, you may think, man, he comes up with some great titles. Well, this wasn't very brilliant, okay? Do not be afraid. Real tough one, right? But that's the whole premise of this. And I've broken this down in verses 6 through 9 here in Joshua chapter 1 like this. Encouragement in the work, being strong, in verses 6 and 7 of Joshua 1. What to do, Joshua 1:8, and then the correct perspective in Joshua 1:9. So with that as our introduction, let's begin reading Joshua chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 6 and see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at this message of do not be afraid. The Lord said, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide or give as a possession, as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So in these two verses, the Lord tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Only be strong and very courageous. Why do you think the Lord said those words to Joshua? Because he was nervous. I mean, it's obvious. He saw himself as weak. He saw himself as fearful. He knew what was ahead. He knew the battles that were out there. He knew the enemy was tough. In fact, he understood what happened with Moses. 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of unbelief. And I'm sure he's thinking in his mind, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. I don't have another 40 years in me, man. And so the Lord tells him, look, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Literally, it is saying that he's going to give this land as a possession to them. This is your land. Now you look at Joshua, who was very fearful, very nervous, afraid, right? How can God use a man like that? Maybe you feel that way. I'm always afraid. I'm always nervous. I can't do this. Well, here's the thing. God can use people like this because it is much easier for God to use a man who knows he can't do it on his own than to use a man who thinks he could do it on his own. When you realize, I have no ability to accomplish this task that's before me, God says, that's where I want you. Now look to me. And see, there's the difference, okay? It's one thing to realize I can't do it, but the other end of that is you need to look to the one who can do it through you. And that's the hard part. God wants Joshua to be strong in the Lord, not in himself. And as he rests in the Lord, he's going to see the victories that God is going to give him. And that's true for our own lives. I mean, think about this. What Moses couldn't accomplish in 40 years, Joshua was going to do in 3 days, crossing over into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so in these two verses, encouragement in the work, there's basically 3 points I want to bring out here. And the first is, Joshua could walk by faith because of the promises that God was given to him, that God had given to him. The promise for them was to enter the land of Canaan. God gave it to them. Trusting in the promises of God. And do we trust in the promises of God? Yeah, but we pick and choose. We pick the ones we like. We don't look at the ones we don't like. I'll show you what I mean. John 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's a precious promise that God has given to us. God loves us so much that he sent his Son into the world to die for the sins of the world, that whoever believes in him is not going to perish but have everlasting life with him. We're saved through the Son, and we believe it by faith. We trust in what God's word is saying to us. We understand that we're sinners, and our sin has separated us from God, and that we need a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. And that promise is to everyone, but you have to receive it by faith. You have to repent of your sins. You have to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. In other words, The start of our salvation is truly a walk of faith, isn't it? God has given this gift to us, and we have to receive it by faith. All we have, you know, when you got saved, did God send you an email or a certificate saying, Joe Guglielmo is saved, or whoever put your name there? No, none of you got it. Well, how do you know? Because of the promise of God in His Word. That's what we have. And I think for most, we don't have a problem with this one. It's easy, right? And if you have a problem, see me afterwards so we can talk. But let me change things up a little bit, okay? Because this is the real world. Do you still believe in the promises of God when you hear those words, you're fired, we don't need you anymore, your spouse is threatening on leaving you, your children are rebelling against you, your best friend just stabbed you in the back, a loved one has died, your health has deteriorated, you don't know if you're even going to make it? In other words, major storms are coming upon your life and you don't see any end to it. These giants in your life are overwhelming you, and it seems like you can't break down those walls of these fortified cities, and you're losing hope. Lord, your word says that you're not going to bring me through things to destroy me. What's going on? I feel like I'm being destroyed here. And I'm sure we've all been there, and maybe some of you are in that storm right now. What are you going to do? You got to trust in the promises of God. You know, in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a promise. God is never going to leave us. He will see us through the storms we face. And we don't have to fear what man's going to do because God is our strength and we will see the salvation that He'll bring to the situation. What if I get sick and die? Well, okay, are you a Christian? You're going home. Okay, that's not a bad thing. We're so caught up in this life that we think when we die, that's the end of it. We're put in the grave, we're buried, and that's it. Are you kidding? When I die, I'm not going to be in some box. I'm going to be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing to understand. And all storms will eventually end. That's the promise of God. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt and Pharaoh came after them, he had the corn by the Red Sea. The children of Israel, were they fearful? Absolutely. What are we going to do? We got the Red Sea in front of me, mountains on either side, and here comes Pharaoh. We have no place to go. Thank you very much, Moses. You brought us here to die now. We were better off in Egypt, right? That's what fear does. And listen to what Moses said in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And we know what happened. God parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could cross through the Red Sea on dry ground. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. Into the midst of the Red Sea, what does God do? Waters come back down, destroy the Egyptian army, including Pharaoh. God brought them salvation. Well, humanly speaking, it looked impossible. It looked impossible. He did this for them. What did they have to do? They had to walk by faith, didn't they? I don't know about you, but you know, I don't know how high those waters were on either side, 100 feet up, I don't know. But here you go, walking through, that's faith. And God calls us, okay, I'm going to deliver you, but you got to walk by faith. You got to trust me. You see, that's the hard part. And I realize, you know, some people are like, yeah, but man, you just don't know what I'm going through. It's true, I don't, but the Lord does. And what you're going through, is it more difficult, harder for God than parting the Red Sea? And parting the Red Sea was nothing, okay? You see, perspective. God promised us that He will never leave us or forsake us. He promised us that he will see us through the storms of life. He'll bring salvation to the situations we're going through. And please understand, the salvation that we see may not be according to what we want, but it's what he wants in our lives. It doesn't make it easier. The situation doesn't get better instantaneously. But God gives us the strength to go through those storms, those battles that we're facing. But we have to walk by faith. We have to be obedient to his word and trust in him. You know, Isaiah 41:10, the Lord said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." See, again, perspective. There is nothing we should fear because God is with us, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who numbers the hairs of our head and who has named all the billions upon billions upon billions of stars that are in the heaven. I mean, think about that. The billions of stars that are out there, he's named them all. Have you ever came across someone and go, "Oh man, what is their name?" God doesn't do that. You see, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We look at things from a human perspective. This is humanly impossible. I don't know how this will ever work out. But God doesn't look at it through a human perspective. God is our God. He could do anything. We need to trust in his promises to us, not only when things are going well, but especially when they're not going well. We have to trust in his promises. We have to walk by faith, knowing that God will see us through somehow, some way. It's the promise of God. That's that first point. The next point goes along with it. We follow the Lord. We follow his word. You know, in Joshua 1:7, the Lord told Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." Why is this so important to us? That we not only read God's word, apply it to our lives, we follow the Lord, what he is saying. Why is it important? Because what else are you going to trust in? As we live out God's word, what he's telling us, it's a guarantee for success. And I'm not saying that it promises life without problems, but it ensures a life able to deal with anything because it takes full advantage of God's presence and promises. You know, when we think of success today, we think of just everything is rosy. That's not true. And what happens is, you know, as we read the Bible, and many do this today, the Bible becomes a smorgasbord. I'll take a little bit of this. I'll take a little bit of that. Yeah, I don't like that. We're going to get rid of that. So we pick and choose what we want, and we get rid of what we don't want. But we can't do that. You can't pick and choose what you like and don't like. God has given his word to us to guide us in our lives, to protect us. And if you negate it, it means you're playing with sin and you're trying to justify your sin. Now, you may not agree with that. You may not like it. But if you're in rebellion against God's word, it's sin, isn't it? God has said, "Do this." No. Well, that's rebellion against God. And we'll deal a little bit more with the word of God and what we're to do with it when we get to the next main point of these verses. But look at this. We're to trust in the promises of God. We're to walk by faith according to the word of God. We're to follow the Lord. We're to follow his word. And the last point in these two verses is this. If you obey the Lord, trust in his promises, and walk by faith, following the Lord, his word, then you will prosper wherever you go. You'll have success. You'll act wisely. And keep in mind that for us as Christians, our success is not numbered or measured by the same standards of the world's success. You know, the world's standards of success is wealth, positions, titles, the clothes you wear, the toys you have, and so on. But for us as Christians, Paul tells us in Romans 8, verses 37 through 39, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, for the Christian, our success is seen in the victories we have over the flesh. It's in our obedience to the Lord. It's learning to walk by faith. All that the world looks to as they try to evaluate a person's success think about it. It's going to fall apart. It's going to be stolen. It's going to be faded. It's going to fade away. Ours doesn't. What God is building in us is eternal. So God wants us to prosper. He wants us to grow, mature in the faith. But the big question is, how can we accomplish this? And it brings us to what we see in Joshua 1:8, what to do. Look at verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.